This program is sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.
This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Send me free. Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here. Welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us on this battlefield we call life these days. This is the first show I'm recording back in the States. The last two recorded in Italy, and the two before that recorded in Finland, and you can hear those at Apple Podcasts or Spotify. So I'm going to get into a couple news articles that just come out recently, and the first one is from The Mirror in the UK, and this has actually been making the rounds in the news channels lately. It says, childhood porn exposure is rising. And this was written by a girl, her story. I started watching porn aged 8, then used videos to learn how to have sex at the age of 13. So, my friends, as I've been sharing many times over the years, the porn epidemic is exploding at every single age. The average age of a man who first looks at this stuff is age of 8. So moms and dads, you can't stick your head in the sand with this stuff. We have to talk to our kids at an early age. And then it continues, the UK Children Commissioner has found that 70% of respondents said they had seen porn before they reached the age of 18. This is up from 64% in 2023, with a quarter of those asked having seen it by the age of 11. And remember, these are the ones that were honest. Because, you know, when a child is asked, hey, have you watched porn? Some are going to be like wanting to crawl into a hole, just like many adults were. So I have a friend who speaks to youth groups, and she went and spoke to a group of teen girls. She asked those who struggle with porn to raise their hand and said that every hand in the room went up. So this is not just a small thing, my friends. We have to talk about this openly in our churches, in our youth groups, because youth, this is when the thing catches fire. It's very rare for somebody to come in and say, hey, at 40 years old, I got hooked. Usually they got hooked when they were, and now today it's 6, 7, and 8, because moms and dads are giving their kids smartphones at an early age with wide open internet access. And they're not paying attention. And guess what your sweet little Jimmy is going to be seeing at school when he goes to school to butch? They're going to be showing them the wrong videos the wrong way. So next news article. Texas Senate candidate James Tallarico accepts money from casinos and follows porn stars online. The New York Post also wrote, devout Christian Senate candidate sure does love his prostitutes and OnlyFans models. The outside world knows that the church is hooked on pornography, or at least many in the church. They are watching us. They see these news articles. They know, they get a feel for, are we really dealing with this stuff? And we're not hiding it as much as we'd like to think we are. This is right out in the open. Next article, Reformed Baptist author pastor resigns ministry after admitting adultery. And my friends, this is all recent stuff within the last week. Samuel Renahan, a pastor at Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in La Mirada, California, has resigned from the ministry after admitting to adultery. A noted figure in Reformed circles, he was also a contributor to Ligonier Ministries and has authored several books, including The Mystery of Christ, His Covenant, and His Kingdom. And sometimes we have this idea, well, we're in church, we do our verse-by-verse teaching. This isn't going to be a problem in my church. And delusion, pastors are getting attacked with this stuff. And every single day in America, a pastor or a youth leader or a ministry leader is being exposed for adultery or pornography or sexual abuse or something along those lines. So as you've heard me say, this issue is not going away. We have to talk about it openly. And on that note, usually what happens is when it comes to sexual sin, especially in the churches, we try to encapsulate it and say, well, this is just a man's issue. So if we just help the men, well, stop looking at bad pictures. That'll be enough. But if all the surveys that have been coming out for decades now showing that 70% of Christian men are viewing porn, most of those men are married. And most of those men will not get help until well into their marriage. And it is very traumatic for the wife. It tears their heart out. It tears their guts out. So their recovery is just as critical as the man. So we must not ever forget the wives and the trauma it inflicts on them and the children. So when I can, I love to get a wives panel in. And today I'm blessed to have with me Chris Landers and Amy. Ladies, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having us.
So we'll start, Chris, with you and having your share your story.
Okay. So my story is that I gave my heart to Jesus when I was 23, but I did not get married until I was 48. So I had like 25 years to fantasize about what, you know, how perfect my marriage was going to be. And I met my husband through some friends, and we did have a lot in common. We hike and bike, are very outdoorsy, and so we had a lot of fun. But the second year into our marriage, I was on our shared computer one day, and a whole page of pornography popped up, which I'd never been exposed to before, and I just started shaking uncontrollably. And I waited to confront my husband because I had experienced he had some anger issues, which I think is really common with men that are struggling with sexual addiction. So I waited until he came home, and I left the picture there so he could see it, and I just very calmly asked him, like, what is this on our computer? And he told me it just popped up, and he didn't look at it, and I thought, okay, you know. And so about a week or two later, same exact story, on our shared computer, pops up again. I wait till he comes home and said, what's going on? And he said, I don't know, babe, it just keeps popping up. And I go, well, it's not popping up on my computer, so I don't understand really what's happening. And so one thing I really love about God is that he does not want us living in darkness. So he doesn't want my husband living in the darkness or me living in dark and not knowing what's going on. And so shortly thereafter, we had a big fight, and I left. And I told him where I was going. I was just going to go talk to a friend. And when I came home, my husband said to me, I feel like I need to go out now, and I'm just going to go to In-N-Out Burger. And so anyway, he didn't come home for a really long time, and I started calling him, but his phone went right to voicemail. So I started looking online, like, about where he possibly would be on our bank account, and because we didn't have trackers or anything back then. And
you've been married how many years?
19 now? Years. So this was at about 17 years ago, 2 years into our marriage. And so anyway, I found that he spent money somewhere. So I called up to see what it was. And I didn't understand, even on the phone, what it was. So I felt just compelled. I was ready for bed. I felt like the Lord just wanted me to get up and go. So I did. And I started driving. And as I was getting closer to the address, it was just in the seediest part of Phoenix that I've ever been in. And as I was driving, my heart just started sinking, you know, more and more, because I knew this wasn't good. And when I pulled up, they had like a marquee or something like a like you would see at the movies with prices for different things. And I saw like a room price, and that was the price that I saw on our bank statement. And so I didn't go in. I just stood there, and a man came out, and I said, "Can you please tell me what's going on inside, because my husband's in there?" And he just touched me on the arm and just said, "Ma'am, I'm so sorry." And I knew. I mean, I already knew in my spirit. So we separated right after that, and I started searching online for like help, and I couldn't find anything. And so I had a really good friend. I didn't want to tell just like my girlfriends, because I really knew they would tell me just to leave him. So I really wanted to hear from the Lord. And so I had a really good godly male friend that was also my husband's friend. And so we got together and I just told him the whole story. And he said to me, Chris, he said, "You really need to hear from Jesus, because he's the only one that knows if Gene is going to allow him to heal him." And, it's hard to hear from Jesus when you're in trauma, though, you know. And so I kept telling Gene, I'll come home, because I was staying at my brother's, if you tell me the truth. Because he, even though I found him, he was telling me a story about why he was there. And so anyway, I had a friend, and she goes, I know a couple, they have a deliverance ministry, and you guys can go there and he can get prayed for. And I thought, great, that's what we need. That's what he needs. So we went, and I told my story about what happened. He told his made-up story, and the guy said to me, "I'm sorry, I believe your husband." And he said, "I do, I'm sorry." And so I left there feeling really devastated, because I thought, who is going to help us? And so that same girlfriend said, "Well, I know a pastor and his wife, and they'll counsel with you." So we went to them, and that pastor told me, if you were having more sex with your husband, he wouldn't be doing this. And so that was all the advice that I got. And so I kept telling my husband, if you tell me the truth, I will come home. And so he did, finally, and I didn't want to go home after that, but I did, because my brother had even said to me, in all fairness, you told him if he told you, you know, you'd go home. But he had an addiction that was deeper than I possibly even imagined. And so anyway, we didn't really know how to heal, so we just kind of swept it under the rug, I think, and just moved forward. And we were talking about moving back to California, where we're from, and so he got a job out in Pasadena, and so we moved, and I just knew things still weren't right, but you know when you just can't put your finger on it, but there's all sorts of little untruths that don't make any sense. And so one day I just picked up his phone. I have no idea even why. I don't even think I was really looking, but I picked it up, and there on color was pictures that I thought, I'm done. Like, I cannot do this anymore. And so I was making my plans to come back to Arizona. And this is when I heard from Jesus. And I sometimes leave this out of the story, because I don't want to put this on anybody else. But I don't want to leave it out, because this is what the Lord spoke to me. For about three times in a row, I opened up my Bible. It landed on 1 Corinthians 13. And God was saying to me, if you can speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and if you, you know, can prophesy and understand all mysteries and have faith that can move mountains, but you don't have love, then it's just a bunch of noise. It's like a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. And so, and then he took me to 1 John 3:16, and it says, this is how we know what love is, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our life for our brothers. And so to me, I felt like God was telling me, I want you to stay, because I'd already told Gene I was leaving. And his response to that was, I'm going to get help for myself. I don't know if you're going to stay or leave, and I don't care at this point. I have to get help. And so anyway, God brought us, unbeknownst to us, to a church in the suburbs of Pasadena that had a ministry to men who were struggling with porn addiction, and there was a separate ministry to their wives who had been, you know, betrayed by them. And so we both went, and the first night I was there, the woman who led my small group, she said, I know this is the worst thing that's ever happened to you, but if you let God, he can turn these ashes into something really beautiful, and you can have a deeper relationship with him than you've ever could imagine, and you can have a deeper relationship with your husband than you could ever imagine. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, okay, I'm in. So we just dug deep. We did the work. We got a Christian counselor who understood porn addiction because he came out of that lifestyle. He was a pastor that lost a church and his family over it, and then he became a Christian counselor. And it took years. It's not an easy journey. It wasn't just all uphill, like all of a sudden we just did great and great and great. It's an up and down journey. But my husband put in the hard work, like, you know, he read all of your books, and he read a lot of books, and he dug deep in his relationship with the Lord and really allowed God to change him. And so we just feel like God really brought redemption to our marriage, and so now we both lead small groups at our church for men that are struggling with sexual integrity issues and for wives who have been wounded by their addiction. Mm.
Thank you, Chris. I know it's a hard road, and I'm glad you persevered. And before I go on to Amy's story, just so our listeners know, we will be continuing this conversation with both these ladies next week, so we'll be getting to some questions on both of their stories. But for now, Amy, I want to invite you to share your story.
Thank you, Mike. My husband and I met in high school youth group at the age of 16. And we're married at the age of 22, and we had our first baby at 23. And at the six-year mark, we had four kids under 5 years old, and life was very busy. It was beautiful. My husband worked in the security alarm business, and I was a stay-at-home mom, very busy stay-at-home mom. It was about that time that I awoke one night to feed my baby, and as I walked through the dark of our home past my husband's office, I saw him sitting there at his computer, and on the screen were images of women performing disturbing sex acts, and I just went numb. And it took a while until I could get my legs to move. They felt like lead. Mm. I finally made my way to the kitchen and made my baby a bottle and took it back to my empty bed, and I remember just looking down at my baby's face and just feeling so much anguish and despair and hopelessness for the future. What did this mean for my marriage? What did this mean for my family?
Mm. How old were you at that point?
I was probably 27.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Over the years, just like Chris, there were the erotic pop-ups that would come up on the laptop. Mm. And you know, in the browsing history on both the computer and his cell phone, there was a history of him having been on porn websites. But I think the most devastating discovery was when our son stumbled across images on his dad's computer when he was putting together an essay for school. And I just thought to myself, how do I explain this wickedness to my child? Mm. How do I console his heart? His innocence has been disrupted by his father's sin.
How old was your son at that point?
He was probably 15.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And so a pattern began to form following these incidents of porn discovery. It was kind of like I would confront him and he would justify, and then we would disagree, and then we would disconnect. And that would go on for a while, and at the point that I was able to forgive him, then it was as if nothing had ever happened between us. He just carried on as normal. But my heart was bruised, and each time it became more and more bruised and more wary. My self-assurance was being eaten away a little at a time, and this repeated over and over and over decades. We sought the help of marriage counselors. They were all men that he chose, and their messages were the same. You need to forgive your husband. You mm-hmm. need to submit to your husband mm-hmm. and proceed with life. Mm-hmm. I was very, very confused. I thought, how, when my husband is hurting me, am I walking away with a to-do list of what I need to change? But the years went on, despite the secret of my husband's sin, and we had fun family vacations, and we had holidays as a family, and we had lots of friends, and high school graduations, and soccer games, and we adopted 4 more children. But behind the closed doors of our home, our hearts were broken, and shame was festering. There came a time where I no longer felt safe undressing in front of my husband. I would lock the door when I went into the bathroom to shower, and I just wondered if he saw me without clothes. Was he comparing me to the women that he watched on the screen? And I no longer trusted his kiss or his touch. I wondered what he was thinking. What did he want? Where was this leading? I felt like a sex object in the bedroom. I love my husband. I chose to view his ongoing sin as a thorn in our marriage. But I wondered what it was going to be like to live the rest of our lives with in intimate brokenness. Mm. But I was committed to our marriage and our family. Fast forward 5 years after we had relocated from another state in order to be in a more conservative place for the rest of our children that were still at home, we married off 2 of our older sons, and we had our first grandbaby. And then on June 3rd of this year, my life came crashing down. It was 9 p.m., and I was waiting for my husband to get off a phone call with some of our friends in his office. And I heard him get off of that phone call, and I heard him get back on the phone with someone else. And I thought, oh, my goodness, I'm tired. I want to go to bed. So I walked down to his office and stood outside his door to see if I could determine who he was talking to and how much longer he would be. And I heard him whispering, and I thought, well, that's strange because I'm the only one up in the house. Why is he whispering? And then a few minutes later, I realized that he was praying with someone, and it sounded strangely intimate. Mm. My spidey senses were going off at that point. So I went out into the living room, and I waited for him to be done. When he came out, I asked him, who were you talking to last? And he said, why? And my heart just fell. Mm. I said, because I heard you praying and it sounded intimate, and I'd like to know who you were talking to. And he said, I don't want to talk about that right now. Mm. And I named off a few women, and by the third one, I knew that I'd hit the mark. And I said, are you having an affair? And he said, yes, I am. Mm. I went to the corner of the couch and I pulled the blanket up, and I just felt numb. He went to his office and he printed out 2 letters, one to me that he had pre-written explaining that he no longer loved me and that he loved this woman and he didn't want to be married anymore. Mm. The second one was to our 4 oldest sons saying the same thing. Mm. He didn't love their mom anymore and the marriage was over. Mm. It's been a rough last 6 months, but I know Jesus is with me. We're in the middle of a divorce, and I couldn't do it without his strength. Mm. I know that he'll get me through. I know that there's a beautiful life on the other side of this, but it's been tough.
Mm. Well, thank you both, and that is heartbreaking, and I appreciate you both opening up like this. And so in 30 seconds, say anything you want, Amy, to the woman who's hurting right now.
Mm-hmm. I just encourage you to reach out to other women specifically, to share your hurt and to not hide away, because I think that's the instinct that we can have out of shame and out of fear, is just to hide and keep the secret. Mm. Don't keep it a secret. It's not your secret. It's his. Mm. You need to expose it to the light.
That's really good.
And seek help, because there is help out there for you.
All right. Thank you, ladies. And my friends, we're going to continue this conversation with Chris and Amy next week. So I encourage you to join us. Thank you, my friends, and we'll see you next time.
Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.